to go. Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. Have no place to go.
Sloppy, wet, rainy. No, 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 not me. The weather. And it looks like it's going to be that for a decent chunk of the day. But 52, 3, 4 degrees.
A little warmer. Windy, though.
Which is terrible for my hair. You combine the rain and the wind.
Looks a little frizzy this morning.
Thank you for noticing. That's Steve Grzanich. Mary Vandeveld is in traffic. I don't mean literally. I mean she's covering it. And how are people behaving, Mary, in general, with the roads being wet and rain falling?
You know, when rain falls, people start to get a little nuts. I think there's a lot of accidents so far.
Socrates said that first. When rain falls, people get a little nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Super Joe and Viv producing this festival. That's Dave Ennett, and that's G. Suki. I'm Steve, your radio friend. And here's all. Come here, you. Good morning, listener. Well, all of you, for that matter. All right, so here's what's coming up on the show today. Chuck Todd, Eric Edelstein, both talking politics. Dean is in Mexico, and we don't think he's coming back. Jeremy Carlton, as Dave just said, talking Blackhawks. And tonight is the night that Brian Campbell, the lovely and talented Soup Campbell, will get his one last shift. Let's think. Oh, and then after 9, a special visit from Andrea Darlis.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because she's in here hawking one of her University of Illinois situations.
Yeah,
she's
wearing orange and blue, I'm sure.
She's bringing a chancellor in, so Mary Vandeveld, if you need to go backwards and get any grades changed, today might be the day to talk about it.
And you know what? I forgot she was coming in. I have jeans on. That's not good when the chancellor comes.
Well, there's no dress code at the University of Illinois. Well,
no, but I could have worn a little orange or blue.
And as
something,
an honored alumni.
Mm, yes. Yeah.
We should lobby him to make give you a doctorate, an honorary doctorate.
That would be
oh, I need a sash.
In traffic, Dr. Mary Vandeveld.
Doctorate of traffic.
Doctor of congestion.
No, it sounds like I have a sinus infection.
Oh, yeah. Well, fair enough. I was just trying to make it a little more, you know, fancy. Somebody brought up last night. I think it was Maureen brought up last night. As a matter of fact, it was Maureen brought up last night. You know, in the congestion issue in the city, it's not just Uber. It's not just Lyft. It's all the Amazon trucks.
Oh, yeah. They are everywhere. Plus UPS. I mean, they're all everywhere.
Right. So I don't know if Maureen's behind it. I don't know if she's in charge of that.
She's driving
but
a truck?
She's 1,000% right. And again, those trucks are big enough. You get on any of the residential side streets in Chicago, you're not going anywhere.
No, you have to wait till they drop whatever they're dropping on the porch.
So point being, Amazon with all their money, how about kicking a little into the city?
Well, when they start delivering by drone... Right?
Well, or they're delivering.
No, I mean that's seriously. That's
yeah. They talked about it,
right?
Well, but that they're not going to deliver by drone in the city. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
I don't think so either. And besides, if you're on your deck in the summertime on a nice evening, you get smacked right in the side of the head.
Yeah. Especially if you ordered cat litter via mail, that could be dangerous. You'd really be knocked out,
bombed.
I just like how they're dropping most of the stuff off at Kohl's now and everywhere else. That's good because then people don't have to put them on their porches and get them stolen. So. You can go to your Dropbox.
Aren't we doing better catching the porch pirates with the door ring video doorbell alarms and stuff?
I don't know. In my neighborhood, we have a rash of porch pirates happening right now. We see packages opened along the walkway, so it's been kind of a
The problem
scourge.
Is sometimes your packages still get left outside of a secure zone. So
That's why I've recommended, I don't know, for months now, a small amount of C4 explosive right on your first step that you'll know to remove when you get home. Otherwise, porch pirate, boom.
Do you have a door cam?
Do I know?
No security cameras then.
No.
He's got guards.
Oh, yeah. You live in a gated community.
I've got some Swiss guards because I like the outfits.
Now for some more news. Ready?
Welcome to the Top 6 of 6.
What?
On the Steve Cochran Show.
That is great radio.
This is your first look at what people, animals, and assorted fruits and vegetables will be talking about today.
6:19, it's the Top 6 at 6 with an update from Tuesday's Kid of the Week and the Glowbelly technical problem that was had. Why is this making the top item on the Top 6 at 6? Because this is what everybody's going to be talking about.
You were very concerned that listeners.
And viewers.
Yeah, couldn't find the glow belly.
There was a technical problem between the Kid of the Week and Mom and Etsy getting it online, so you could actually go and buy a glow belly or two or ten. And we believe it's now been fixed. So, G, please give us the proper Etsy address to locate the glow belly spoken about on Tuesday's Kid of the Week. I believe it's a podcast, right?
Yeah, it's
you can hear it as a podcast there as well.
So go to Etsy.com, E-T-S-Y.com, and at the top, at the search bar, put in Glow Belly Designs, GLOWBELLYDESIGNS, all one word, and the Glow Belly teddy bear will pop up.
It's a really cool thing the kid is doing, and because of that, I want to make sure that if people want to buy it, they can find it.
Very good of you.
Mm. And again, we have the link on our podcast, WGNradio.com.
Next, Google unveiled yesterday new rules for political advertising. This on the heels of last night's latest Democratic debate and all the things going on with impeachment. Major tech companies are fighting to fend off criticism. They've done nothing to guard against the spread of misinformation. This happened just before the debate took place last night. Candidates addressed trade, climate change, and Trump. The exact details of what Google plans on doing still a little bit up in the air. But if you happen to own property on the near west side, you should probably send a Christmas card to Google because your property values went up again. So next, Chicago Board of Education had a 6.5-hour meeting yesterday, approved new labor contracts for teachers and support staff. Seemed to be a formality after it was done, but it's never done till it's done. The school calendar includes 5 additional attendance days to make up for some of the canceled days and the teacher walkout. Those days are November 27th. That's the day before Thanksgiving, which they would have had off, as well as January 2nd and 3rd. That would be coming back a little faster than you expected from the Christmas New Year's break. And June 17th and 18th, which cut into winter and summer breaks, respectively. Any questions? Good. Close your textbooks. Next. Illinois' budding legal pot industry could grow more than 1 million pounds of weed by 2025 to meet the demand of potheads across this great state.
I see what you did there. Budding legal pot industry. Budding. Mm-hmm. I like that.
I should probably thank Vivian for writing that pun. But then again, I don't like puns. It's too early, though, for me to add it on the fly. According to the report, the state will have to permit legal growers to vastly scale up production to reach that level, which is more than 14 times the amount that Illinois grows. So does that mean the state of Illinois, Steve, is going to be, you know, kind of lurking and skulking around streets going, hey, anybody carrying?
I don't know about that. I hope not.
Next! Quack. Gordon Sondland. We'll talk about this with Chuck Todd coming up. But Gordon Sondland opened his appearance yesterday. This is the former ambassador to the EU and guy that contributed $1 million to Trump's inaugural fund. Opened up his situation yesterday, and Steve broke this with the following statement. I know that members of this committee have frequently framed these complicated issues in the form of a simple question. Was there a quid pro quo? Sondland said the answer is yes. Yes, there was. And off and running on a day where if you're favoring the Democrat side of things, you felt like he threw Trump and Giuliani and just about everybody else under the bus. And if it wasn't clear before, how could it not be clear now? If you're a Republican and you'll defend Trump to the end, you don't feel that way at all. And you feel like he is still a hearsay witness and not someone who, in fact, saw anything that adds up to full facts. Next. Timeout Market's going to make its long-awaited debut today under one roof at 916 West Fulton. You're going to find 18 food stalls, 3 bars, a demo kitchen, a guest chef event space, an entertainment space, and, oh, much more. Most of the action will take place on the first floor with 17 of the food stalls and the long Timeout Bar form a perimeter around a massive seating area topped by an atrium roof. Now, is this going to be just a summer thing?
Oh, no. This is
year-round?
Yeah, I already visited. It's beautiful. Some of the best handpicked representations of local restaurants. It's great. It's an absolutely wonderful place to hang out or go and do a little work.
So are there going to be like mini versions of restaurants?
Yeah, there's all food stalls. So a lot of popular restaurants that people maybe have trouble going to, or they can now be at a price point that's a little bit more within reach as well.
And it's called Timeout Market?
Yes.
Is it from the people that did Timeout?
Absolutely.
Okay. And finally, this, Burger King is melting down hundreds of thousands of toys which will be turned into playground equipment and reusable table trays. Next year, McDonald's will offer the choice between a toy or a book with their Happy Meals. Environmental experts say it's not evident that these efforts would make a meaningful impact. How about, you know, how these environmental experts, how depressing are they? You know, at least the King and Ronald McDonald are trying to do something good here.
Well, you always do hear those reports that say you should recycle, but then there's reports that say that it's not really sure whether recycling actually offsets the carbon footprint of creating the plastic, and maybe recycling the plastic actually hurts the environment even more. I don't know.
Yeah, and then you see a whale with Happy Meal toys in its stomach.
Oh, right. No. That's funny. Yeah.
And by the way, if the whale wants a book, the whale should ask for a book.
It would probably digest better.
That's your top six at six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Do you know about this dog on Michigan Avenue, the walking dog? Remember the walking man? Everybody remember the walking man, the guy that would just always be seen going up and down Michigan Avenue? I think he died, didn't he? Yeah, he did pass away.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
But the walking man's no longer with us. The man, I don't think.
Right.
Right. Okay. Sporty, the Magmiles self-walking dog, is sadly has passed away as well. I missed the memo on this. I don't know Sporty. Do you guys know Sporty?
I do not know Sporty.
This is a Chicago Tribune story. Steve, do you know?
I had seen the stories about him previously. Yeah, very cute golden retriever that carried his leash in his mouth while he walked himself.
Oh.
80,000 Instagram followers. Died on November 14th. 12-year-old golden retriever was known for carrying his leash in his mouth during his daily walk. David Duncan is actually his human, but walked behind him. And if you weren't paying attention and you were just looking at the dog, you'd think, well, the dog's out for a walk.
Could you open the door? I'm going to take myself for a walk.
Yeah, he was a very good boy.
That's my generic dog voice, by the way. It's a common trait in any retriever to hold something or present something, says Duncan. He would always have to hold something, no matter what was nearby. He'd grab and bring me a towel, an article of clothing, or something. Sporty was still relatively young when they would go on walks, and he'd start putting the leash in his mouth. And I mean, you think about it, Steve, just going up and down Michigan Avenue, there's a lot of stimulus there for a dog.
There is. Yeah. So to be focused on something that good, that's a good dog. Because my dog would be rampaging up and down the street. He'd be jumping on people and trying to get food, and there'd be too much going
looking
on.
For stuff to sniff?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, how's that different than you?
Not much, really. It's like owner, like dog.
And then there's this, one other local story. Jesse Smollett is suing the city. You know, you can't make it up. Jesse Smollett, who made up a crime against him, cost the city thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. You remember Mayor Rahm Emanuel on this show broke the news the city was suing Jesse Smollett. Jesse Smollett now says that he is suing the city for emotional pain and career damage.
Oh, please. You know, he's got to go away.
This guy needs a lot of help, and he should never, ever, ever, ever be in Chicago again.
Where does he even live now?
Well, I think he's in L.A. I don't know.
Yeah, stay in L.A.
He says the $10,000 he was mandated to pay after the criminal case against him was closed should prevent the city of Chicago from seeking any further reimbursement. I forgot, what did the mayor, Mayor Emanuel, say? Was it $170,000 or something he was trying to get? In January, Smollett told police he was attacked by two masked men and he was walking home from a Chicago subway restaurant about 2 in the morning and said the openly gay actor that the masked men beat him, taunted him, made homophobic and racial slurs and yelled, "This is MAGA country." This occurred in one of the most Democrat cities in America, in a particular neighborhood in that most Democrat city that wouldn't have a MAGA hat anywhere nearby. And if a tourist came in with one, it would just instinctively pop off their head. So bad research by him. And of course, shortly after, we saw the two hired thugs to fake beat him up in the Crafty Beaver store, buying the accoutrement to go ahead and do the fake the punch out. Kim Fox put a commercial on a couple of days ago saying she blew it. She could have handled it better. She owns that. Jesse Smollett follows that up a day later with a lawsuit against the city. And the only goal here has got to be that the city will settle because they want this guy in this case to go away. I personally hope the city doesn't give him a freaking dime. Again, if you missed the memo on this guy faked a crime wasted hundreds of thousands of dollars in the city's money. Made it harder for anybody, including any young African-American man, to actually report a crime legitimately and not be questioned in a touchy situation. Made it harder for the gay residents of Chicago. Made it harder for everybody. And he's suing the city. He should be so thankful he's not in jail. He should just go away. But that's what's going on, kids. Some good news, some bad news, because that's the world we live in. I have some porch pirate statistics. This comes from Safewise.com. And Chicago is sixth in the country for porch piratry.
Is that for
piracy?
For most porch piracy?
Yes. Here are the top 10. Sacramento at 10, L.A. at 9. The problem with L.A. porch pirating, you got to walk so far. You know, I mean, there's no
but
really
the weather is nice.
Weather's nice, but I mean, you know, you got to get a lot of steps in. Number 8 is Denver. 7 is Austin, Texas. We are at 6th. Seattle's ahead of us. So is Baltimore, Portland, Salt Lake City, Utah, number 2.
No, I would never imagine that.
I wouldn't think of that at all. And the number 1 porch piratry city is the greater San Francisco metro area. You'll notice New York is not on that list.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of stunning.
It is. It
but
is.
There are no porches in New York.
There's, you know, there's your little gated front areas where the guy comes by and carefully throws your package at your front door. And Chicago shares the distinction of having porch piracy go up statistically and significantly during the holidays.
Oh, I would think that would happen everywhere because people are getting more deliveries.
Doesn't appear to.
Hmm.
For instance, Portland, San Francisco, Austin, L.A., Sacramento, all stable. Seems like if you're in L.A., you got, you know, better things to do other than
the best
steal
part
people's stuff.
Is if you're a porch pirate and you steal a box and inside of it is a 6-pack roll of toilet paper.
Right.
From Amazon.
Right. I do that. Maybe that's the secret because I order really awful things from Amazon all the time. Just in the hopes that some creep will come by and take them. That'll show them. That'll teach them.
Have you ever ordered something that you forgot you ordered? Or didn't realize you had ordered?
No.
No. See, I have friends that order things.
What's the last thing you got from Amazon?
I probably order something once a month. I couldn't tell you what the last thing is.
I got an air horn the other day.
What are you going to do with that? What?
You going to keep it for the basketball games? Northwestern sidelines?
To chase away the woodpecker. There was a woodpecker. On my house.
I knew it had to do with a creature or a rodent or something.
I ordered something once from Amazon and it was delivered and I put it in a utility closet and forgot about it and just found it recently.
I hope it wasn't ham.
No, it was a new shower curtain.
Wow.
And I completely forgot I had ordered it and forgot that it had came and because I said I'm going to put it here while I, you know, wait to put it in to install it. And
yeah. And so it goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was there for like 3 months. And I completely forgot about it.
Our friend Chuck Todd, Meet the Press, MTP Daily, and the wonderful, and I mean that, must listen, Chuck Todd Cast. Good morning, pal. How are you?
Good morning. I know that Amazon trick. You're home, and you're like, you think you've got all the, you know, you're going to do the to-do list. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to do this, this, and this. You're like, oh, I don't have it. Mm-hmm. I'll pop it in Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And then a month later, you're like, oh, I forgot to do that.
Right.
That's how I run into old Amazon boxes. Oh, I was motivated to put that shower curtain up when I ordered it, not when it came.
It's a good, you know, you make an interesting point. It's a good stall tactic on the honey-do list.
That's a great stall tactic. I've used it a million times. Honey, I got to order from Amazon.
It's coming.
Home Depot's down the street. Oh, no. Amazon's got a better price.
Chuck, this week I ordered a quarterback. And there was no quarterbacks available with Prime.
They're still tracking that shipment. You know how they tell you we're tracking that shipment. It's all over the map. They can't find a quarterback anywhere in the country. Even Jeff Bezos can't find it for you, brother.
Here's the thing. I can't remember a time where I hoped my starting quarterback was too injured to play. Because right,
don't say it that way. You said it out loud, Steve. But I'm going to hate you.
The assessment right now is he healthy enough to play? And they think maybe. I don't want him to be in pain. I just want him too injured to play.
I still can't get over
that 2007 draft list again. By the way, have you looked at it recently?
The 17 list. Yeah.
Have you looked at it just to see all the people that were available? when the Bears drafted Mitch Trubisky.
I'm just glad we passed up on Patrick Mahomes, because who needs that kind of celebration?
Well, it's a good thing you passed on him.
I'm still thinking about how you described him as emotionally broken.
Trubisky?
Yes.
Yeah, Chuck, I took some heat about this yesterday. I said, it's possible he'll never be right again. It's possible he's so broken, he'll never be able to play high-level NFL professional football again. Instead, and surprisingly, people went, what's wrong with you?
It brought a tear to my eye. It was so sad.
I just thought you guys got rid of Jay Cutler. I didn't know you also just kept him. I mean, he just seems to be the reincarnation of him.
Hold on, I'm writing
down
a letter right now. Dear Jay.
Down to the expression.
Dear Jay.
Are you going to apologize?
Dear Jay, we're sorry. Please come home.
Well, the last Super Bowl quarterback you had was Rex Grossman, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
That is correct.
What are you saying? He's available?
Oh, there you go. Yes.
Chuck Todd, NBC, political guru, in charge of all things that you don't want to think about or talk about, so you don't have to be. Did your legs fall asleep?
You know, it's we call it anchor ass in the business. and that's what I call it. No, I named it. I literally, you get numb back there.
Yeah.
And you do. Well, think about it. You've probably done those 3-hour shifts.
Sure, of course.
On drive time or something like that. But, and you know, if you don't stand up, you don't walk around, it is that's what you end up wanting to do, is just pace. But it is a lot of fun and helpful to watch one of these things with a guy like Andrew Weissman.
Sure.
Or, you know, to watch these with these really smart prosecutors. It feels like I'm auditing a law school class. It's kind of fun.
By the way, if you're wondering how Gordon Sondland made all his money, he's got what's said to be a luxury boutique hotel chain. I've stayed at the Hotel Preston in Nashville. It's nice. It's okay. But he made so much money, he gave $1 million to Trump's inaugural campaign.
No. I love how he responded. He described it. He goes, I bought a VVIP ticket. That's what he called it.
Oh.
A VVIP ticket. Now it happened to cost $1 billion.
Huh.
But he says, he gave $1 million to the inaugural committee. He goes, I bought a VVIP ticket. That's what they charge.
And then did he get the big goofy grin on his face?
I guess. But can I just tell you, that was something. He looked like he enjoyed himself more there than he should have.
Absolutely.
That was the only odd thing about his testimony yesterday. You know, the substance was alarming and all those things. But his demeanor was odd to me. That's all.
Didn't I totally agree.
Guy who was contrite about doing something wrong. It was almost like, oh, so that was wrong? Okay. Well, that was wrong. Got it. You know?
Because he changed his testimony. Because he changed his testimony before, is there a credibility question they're going to throw at the wall like so many other things?
If you were them, wouldn't you? I mean, of course. He's your number one accuser right now. So yes. But I have to admit, it was really interesting. So Andrew Weissman is telling me, he goes, you know, this guy uses the word recall a lot. And he goes, that's code for me for the person doesn't want to. He knows more there, but he's afraid of the truth. And he wants to see how much he has to tell you. So you do the I don't recall. And then what that tells the prosecutor is that they need to go get more proof that they know that he has information on this. And then they'll give. And it was right after that that Sean Patrick Maloney said, you know, went after him and said, sir, there's a lot of I don't recalls in here, so let's not be all proud of yourself for changing your testimony twice and getting in here. It was an important moment because I think Sondland needed to stop feeling good about himself, if that makes sense.
It does. We went through the day.
You're not a hero, buddy. Yeah.
It was rather remarkable how many people he threw into the bus. Now, there's two things here. One is, if you believe in the president and you believe he's being railroaded, you're probably going to stay there. If you believe Trump should have never been elected, you're probably going to stay there. What does this do to the people in the middle? Are they paying attention? What do you guys see in ratings-wise?
Well, the numbers are, we haven't seen anything. We didn't get the Tuesday. I haven't seen the Tuesday numbers yet, so I don't know. I'll be curious what yesterday was on that front. But, you know, let's look at this calculation from Gordon Sondland's perspective. My wife pointed this out to me. She goes, you know, he might be the smartest one of these Trump appointees I've seen yet. And I said, why do you say that? And he goes, well, he's looked around and sees Roger Stone, convicted, not pardoned. Paul Manafort, convicted, not pardoned. Michael Cohen, convicted, not pardoned. And she goes, it's pretty clear it's a one-way street with Trump. So there's no incentive to stick by the guy. So why would you stick by the guy if unless you think he can help you? And if you're not an elected officials, they got to stick by the guy. He can help them, right? But if you're not an elected official, it's pretty clear if you're trouble, he's going to cut you loose. So Solomon may have just made a business decision. He looked around and realized, oh, this is what happens.
Right.
Got it. I'm out of here, man. I ain't going where those guys go.
So what's next? Because I'm curious as to why the Democrats are pushing for Mulvaney and Bolton and Giuliani.
See, now this is what I think they're... So now they have to make a decision. If this were a court case, they have enough. You know, we rest our case. We, you know, they could provide more witnesses if they need to, but they've got enough for a jury trial. They got it. They've proved their case.
Yeah, because you think of this as a grand jury, will you send it to trial, right? Is that the
right.
framework?
Now, that's what, well, no, but in this case, I want to keep my courtroom metaphor here a minute because I want to make a point. The Democrats, though, have to make a decision if they want to win the political argument. And if they want to win the political argument, they need to keep investigating and they need to keep finding witnesses. If they decide that, well, the presidential race begins in February, it's getting close to the end of the year, we have to wrap all this up and put it in a bow, then they're letting the political calendar dictate impeachment, which I think they'll get criticized for, deservedly so. If you believe the president's behavior is so egregious, then you need to leave no stone unturned.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they have a dilemma to face after today, because after today, there's no more scheduled hearing. They have to make a decision. How hard are they going to go? Look, of those witnesses that I'd like to hear from, Mulvaney, Rick Perry, Mike Pompeo, John Bolton, the only one realistically I think they can get is Bolton. At a minimum, I think they have to basically, they need to make sure they get Bolton before they cut this off. They cut this off before they get Bolton, they're never going to win the political argument on this.
What happens first? The president torpedoes his own case by something on Twitter or a public statement or anything else?
Yeah, I mean, the fact is Trump himself has been his own worst enemy with all of this. I remember saying this to my staff. I said, you know, the one thing about impeachment, there's a lot of political risk here for the Democrats, but there's one truism that should benefit them throughout this, is that it will surface the worst version of Trump. And he can't handle this, right? He cannot handle this, and it's pretty clear. So we're seeing the worst version of him, which means God only knows.
This holiday season, please remember your favorite anchor as we raise money in the first ever radio television Anchor Ass fundraiser.
For Anchor Ass? Yeah. Do you suffer from anchor ass? Is there a numb feeling down there?
I think we just wrote SNL sketch for the opener.
There you go. I don't know, man. They've had some great ones. I don't know if that one will work as well.
All right, Chuck, enjoying the work by you as always. Thank you.
You know, it's amazing. You forgot to ask me about the Democratic debate, which tells you the problem the Democrats running for president have, Steve.
It's a good point.
You just did the analysis right there by not bringing it up.
Good point. No, it's a good point. Yeah, All right. You're right. Thank you, sir.
Goodbye.
That's Chuck Todd. And that Democratic debate he speaks of last night, there seems to be big surprise, mixed takes on who actually, quote, won and who may have lost and how concerned folks are about whether or not Biden's up for the run. So we'll get into that a little bit with Eric Edelstein coming up. It's coming up on 7 o'clock. We'll get to the news in just a second. I mentioned Eric Edelstein on the city, the state, and the Democratic debate. I think I just wrote a new song. Dean in Mexico later on as he continues to run some sort of illegal contraband across the border.
Which band composed that song, dude?
I did. Oh, which band?
Which band? I mean, you've been in so many bands.
That's very true. And it's hard for me to remember who gets the publishing rights on these things.
This is a T-Swift thing happening all over.
That's exactly right. Jeremy Colleton, coach of Blackhawks, coming up after 8:30. And the chancellor of the University of Illinois... after 9. Pat Brady's on a plane to San Diego to go get his two lovely daughters to come home for Thanksgiving, which means my friend Eric Edelstein and I will talk about the world, along with Jisoo Ki and Dave, if he wants to throw something in here, and Mary and Steve. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Good. Can we just talk about Pat?
We could, but is that interesting enough to get
not
through more
really,
than one segment?
Not really.
Okay. So let's start with the debate last night. You watched, I assume?
I did.
Mm-hmm. And as a card-carrying Democrat, how did you feel?
Well, I felt good because conventional wisdom was wrong. Everyone said it was going to be a pile on Pete, given that Pete Buttigieg is leading in the new Iowa poll, that he'd be the new front runner and everyone would try to slam him. He pretty much skated through. I don't think anything really changed last night. Everyone seemed to be on their best behavior. There weren't any breakthrough moments. I don't think it fundamentally changed the trajectory of the race. But here's an interesting possibility. I know we love to do these parlor games on what if on this crazy field. But there's a scenario. Literally, there could be a scenario where in the first four states, Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, South Carolina, you have four different winners. Think about this for a second.
That would elongate this, so you could have, I don't think that's necessarily good for
the
Democrats.
No, not good, but let's say Pete wins Iowa, Warren wins New Hampshire, Biden wins South Carolina, and Bernie wins Nevada. Then you have Super Tuesday coming up, and hey, here comes Bloomberg with all his money, and he starts to buy a bunch of primary wins and rack up delegates. I mean, this thing could get pretty wild.
The consensus is if it extends like it used to. Frankly, it used to go almost always almost to the convention or to the convention itself. Wasn't that long ago, 30, 35 years ago, I suppose. That's not great for Democrats because the incumbent president would have all that front time to just fire away on Twitter and other things while the Democrats are trying to figure out who they support.
Yeah, I'm not in that camp. I mean, I think a robust, healthy primary is good. I mean, Obama, Hillary went down to the wire.
Well, you do this every day. So if the the candidate isn't chosen until close to the convention, which would be August. Is the electorate even now so disconnected that that's okay?
Well, there's two reasons it's okay. One, there is a Democratic infrastructure that is raising a lot of money outside of whoever the nominee is to take the attack to Trump, number one. So there will be money spent online, on television, whatnot, making the argument. Number two, it's less time, frankly, for Trump to tear that candidate down. And I do believe when you have these very contested primaries, it can be exhausting, but you end up with a nominee who's battle-tested, who's stronger because they've gone through the gauntlet. And look, they're going to be up against a knife fighter, a guy who doesn't play fair, who gouges out eyes and kicks in the groin and does all that stuff, and they better be ready
about?
For the fight. Yeah. So I'm not one who thinks a long primary process is necessarily bad.
Okay. As I said, this is what you do every day, so it's an interesting take on things. Was there a clear winner last night?
I don't think so. And again, like I said, I don't think it fundamentally changed the trajectory of the race. I think what was interesting is Warren and Sanders were almost a little more sidelined, where they've sort of dominated in some of the other debates. This was really more kind of the moderates taking center stage. I still, for the life of me, don't understand why Kamala Harris keeps picking a fight with Tulsi Gabbard. She's punching below her weight. It's
well,
sort of
I'm glad
undercard.
You brought up Tulsi Gabbard because she's an interesting, weirdly non-affiliated alleged Democrat who seems to be really gumming up the works here a little bit. So at what point do you give her a parting gift?
I mean, she's kind of sanding the gears. She really seems to irritate the other candidates. And she's somebody who has no chance of being the nominee. I don't know why they're spending time and energy talking about her, attacking her. They don't doesn't seem to help any of them. No. So it just seems like wasted breath.
More coming up, and lots to talk about locally and statewide as well. Can we all agree that Bernie Sanders looks great since his heart attack? We're not advocating a heart attack, but he looks pretty good.
He does.
Yeah. Don't have the heart attack. Just lose weight. It's Bernie. He just called just a second ago. It's 718. We re-welcome Eric Edelstein. Company name is what?
AL Media.
AL Media. And as always, nice to have you here. Appreciate your time and all that. How about a couple of pieces of quick good news here? Texter says, my neighbor shoveled my driveway twice recently. I'm baking a banana bread. Love thy neighbor. It's a nice story.
That's great.
And Christy is a dental hygienist. She's driving along. There's a cop behind her. Cop pulls her over. She's naturally stressed out. Anytime a cop pulls you over, you are. It was her Marseilles policeman said, do you know why you were pulled over? She said, no. And he said, because we're giving you a turkey for Thanksgiving. Went back to the car and handed her a turkey.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that
That's
nice?
The best.
Yeah. It's a nice story.
Great.
Was it cooked?
Yeah, the full dinner was cooked.
They have the trimmings.
You had to go back and
now
forth.
That would be nice.
I was thinking, was it properly refrigerated in a cooler?
It's amazing how you two can take the love out of that story.
Wow.
At 719, G has a question for you, Eric, speaking of all that.
Sure.
Oh, yes. Well, speaking of turkeys and getting along with everybody and good stories, how are you going to handle Thanksgiving next week? And what advice do you have for people facing maybe people from different opposite sides
go
of the
get
aisle?
Chinese
so you don't get the arguments.
Yeah.
I do, and I don't mean to sound sappy, but I think it's perfect segue out of those two stories you just told, Steve. Mm-hmm. Is in all
not my first day.
In all seriousness, find common ground to talk about. And I don't mean that can't be politics, but I think in the context of politics, agree to disagree without being disagreeable and say, let's not yell at each other. Let's not hate each other. You're not my enemy because you support Trump or you hate Trump. Let's talk about what makes us Americans. And I'm not saying you have to sit around and, you know, say the Pledge of Allegiance and hold hands. But I do think if we can't get back to some common ground, some belief system to say, you know what, we do have enemies and they're around the world. They're not us. We're not each other's enemies. It's seriously, my advice would be sit at that table and find the meaning of Thanksgiving and, you know, forget all the politically correct stuff, but go back to your childhood notion of the Pilgrims and the Native Americans found something to break bread over. Forget the revised history and all that. And the
Play along with the story for the sake of
this. Play along with the story for the sake of the story.
Yeah, yeah.
And find some common ground with someone you don't agree with. And I think that we'll all be better off for it.
Well, that sounds all good and well, but what if you have that one relative
oh, here you go.
That wants Uncle to Hank. Talk and won't stop talking, whatever side he's on.
I know what you mean. It's
maybe
Uncle
he's
Hank.
A non-voter. Maybe he just doesn't care, but he wants to talk about it, or right. She wants to talk about it, and is relentless. What are your, fail-safe?
Lock him out.
Yeah, tools.
Put him out in the yard and lock the front door.
Talk about football.
Okay,
football.
Great.
I will say this, I don't know who I heard this from, but I like the idea. When the temperature starts to rise in the room, simply say, "Okay, we're going to go around the table, and everybody has to say one thing about." The greatest thing about living in America. What's the greatest thing about living in this country?
Right.
And whatever their answers are, spur different conversations, and suddenly you're off politics, and you're united by one thing. We're all lucky to be here.
And when the one guy, when the uncle says,
and then Uncle Hank says,
Trump's president, well, and then someone takes the fork and tries to go after him. that's great advice.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so as well. All right, so as we continue, let me get back locally here. We talked about this congestion in the city, and my wife Maureen brought up the fact that this isn't just an Uber thing.
No.
Why can't Amazon kick a little money in for all the trucks they've brought into the area? And, UPS obviously has to step up their game as well. Can't Bezos help pay for a few things in Chicago?
You'd think so. This is a problem not just here, New York,
every
Washington,
big city.
LA, yeah. And, you know, it's one of those externalities that comes from this online economy. And everyone wants everything convenient, and they want it right now. Well, there's a cost to that, and we're seeing it in these cities. I think it also is a function of, not to get to the broader conversation, of you have really unregulated industry. And this country does best when you have capitalism that can thrive and create jobs and be entrepreneurial, but that there is some regulation that makes it work for everyone and not just for a few.
So how do you put that into play?
Well, there's different ways. There's congestion taxes. There's limits on downtown accessibility.
But you can, as a municipality or a town or a city, write laws that say, if you drive an Amazon truck or you drive a UPS truck, you're going to have to pay this?
You have to pay this. You could say we could really enforce double parking, so you can't be doing this. You could
That's my favorite. When you're trying to go down any residential street and they block the street.
Particularly at rush hour. I mean, you could enforce those laws. You could say there's certain delivery hours. You know how there's signs that say delivery between these hours?
Yeah.
Make those deliveries on those hours. And if people are a little inconvenienced, that's too bad. The other thing, going to the rideshare situation, you know, for years you controlled the number of taxi medallions for a reason. One, because you were subsidizing that industry,
and
good or
cars
bad,
on the street.
And you had less cars on the street. Now there's no regulation. Anybody can be an Uber or Lyft driver, and you know it's just kind of a glut.
All of that is better than a congestion tax paid by everyone that works here.
I agree. I mean, I don't like the idea of, you have to pay a tax if you want to bring a car into the downtown. I think that's elite, and I think that discriminates and ends up being kind of a regressive tax. But I do think there are other interesting progressive public policy solutions to some of these congestion issues. They're doing some of them. They're looking at some of them in some of the Pacific Northwest cities in Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington, which also have congestion problems, but, you know, have a little more, I'd say, enlightened view of ways to handle some of these things.
As we continue, state government, I know, is not your beat, but we still have this ongoing discussion of potentially trouble for Mike Madigan and ethics reform and all of that. Is there anything new you've heard since we last got together?
Well, you know, we had this Lincoln Forum event where we had some great discussion.
Panels, yeah.
We had some great panelists who talked about the corruption issue, reporters who were covering it. We had the former head of the Chicago FBI office. And, you know,
Robert Grant.
Yeah, yeah. And he was terrific. And he had a great story about bin Laden, by the way, which has nothing to do with Illinois corruption, but I thought it was fascinating. But
somebody can tell on the air?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well,
for sure.
Tell me the story.
Well, what he was saying, they were talking about wiretaps because all these state senators and aldermen who are wearing wires. And Dave McKinney asked, well, how has the technology changed on these wiretaps? And Grant was saying when he first came in, they were like video cassette tapes, and someone would be wearing a wire and they'd be scared to death because they basically had a suitcase attached to their body.
Right.
And the technology's gotten better. And then he was asked more detail, and they said, well, I can't go into it because there are certain recording devices that are for national security purposes, and we don't tell the U.S. Attorney's Office because they want to use them for corruption cases.
Wow.
But we don't want the terrorists to know. And he says, here's why. When the SEALs captured bin Laden, they mm-hmm. got his hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
They brought it back to the New York FBI office. And on that hard drive was every arrest of a terrorist the FBI had made and the tactics they'd used.
Wow. That's incredible.
That's an amazing story. That bin Laden was tracking. Was this an informant? Was this a wiretap? Was this somebody who turned?
And the
was
fact
this an
that
infiltration?
He had that information.
And he had it on his computer. So he's saying, Grant's saying, the FBI has these devices we don't tell anybody about because we don't want people to know, oh, that can be used as a wiretap.
Yeah, and the fact is, in the leak culture we live in, nobody can keep a secret.
Right. So, but he was saying, interesting, these U.S. attorneys are like, oh, give us the good stuff. And they're like, yeah, you don't get that stuff.
Right. You know? Wow. That's scary on a whole different level, isn't
right,
it?
Right, isn't it? Great story, though.
726, lots more to go over with Eric Edelstein. By the way, if you have a question for Eric about love or finance, 312-981-7200 is the number. You could text us, and we'll try to get a few of those in as well. We were talking off the air, Eric, a moment ago about our level of confidence in Mitch Trubisky. Do you share my, I don't want to say wish, because that sounds harsh. Do you share my thought that maybe if he is dinged and he can't play, that's not so bad? Because even in this season, we're not going anywhere. I'd like the Bears to win.
I may have confessed this on the air before. I've grown up in Chicago, and I'm a huge Chicago sports fan, except when it comes to football. My dad's from Cleveland, Ohio, and I've grown up a Cleveland Browns fan. So I take a weird view of the
Bears.
So you
look up to the Bears.
I sort of have an objective... You know, I see the craziness that people get about this team. And I get it. They were 12-4 last year, true Super Bowl aspirations. And the thing's just gotten away from them. That's highly disappointing.
Remember the old game show, What's My Line?
Yeah.
Don't you want the real Mitch Trubisky to stand up?
Look, the sad thing is what he's going to have the legacy, and you know, Pace is going to have the legacy of Deshaun Watson and Mahomes for the rest of their careers. And, you know, I'm not sure that's fair to Trubisky. It's not his fault he was drafted too. He should have been lower in the draft. The expectations are unrealistic, and they gave up the world for him. So, you know, and when your defense only gives up, less than 20 points in 7 games in the NFL, you got to win games.
Yeah, you got to win 5 or 6 of those.
But Chase Daniel's not the answer. My fantasy this week was, what if they got Kaepernick? They could get him for a steal.
Well, something went really badly in that tryout that, you know, unless you assume mass collusion, but something went badly enough in that tryout that teams went, no.
Yeah.
No, we don't want to be part of this. Yeah.
But they could get him for a song, Dave, right? And wouldn't that be fascinating?
I don't know. I mean, it might be a long song.
7:30. We continue with Eric Edelstein, and we're talking about Springfield a little bit and the city a little bit and the impeachment thing a little bit and the Democratic primaries a little bit, unless there's something else you want to talk about.
No, it was a slow news day in politics yesterday, wasn't it?
Here's the thing about Sondland. I think that's the kind of guy, if I'm in an elevator with him, I would want to go to the other side of the elevator. He just seems
so
oily.
So happy, so pleased.
I've never seen anybody in any way, shape, or form testify to Congress under any circumstances be that happy they were there.
What was the, it was like a joke that he was in on that nobody else was. I want to know what it was.
Yeah, I don't know. The meds kicked in hard? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the things he said were certainly damaging to the Trump argument.
Yeah.
Why aren't the Democrats fighting harder to get in Giuliani, Bolton, Mulvaney?
Great question. Giuliani's tricky because it's lawyer-client privilege. I don't understand the Bolton strategy. It seems like this guy wants to come and eviscerate Trump. Unless, you know, maybe the Democrats on the committee know something I don't know, which obviously they do. But I don't know why he wouldn't just subpoena the guy and have him come in and talk, because it seems like Bolton...
Because he's looking for that out, right? He wants to have a career in Republican politics going forward, and he wants to be forced to testify,
right,
as opposed to volunteering.
Right, and he's not somebody who ever pulls his punches. I mean, this is a guy who lets it rip, and I don't... He had a firsthand seat. He called it a drug deal. He said everything that Giuliani touched turned to caca. Mm-hmm. You know, all that stuff that we've heard secondhand. I think they need to hear from Bolton. But having said that, Sondland was a devastating witness for not just Trump, but for the rest of that administration. I mean, here's a guy who they have nothing over because he's personally wealthy, who basically said they were all in on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big conspiracy, and Trump ran the thing. So, you know, the Republicans are trying to hang on to, well, but Trump said, he said to him, no quid pro quo, which is, you know, the classic Trump. When you're going to do something, you say publicly, I'm doing the exact opposite.
By the way, people shouldn't get involved in going too crazy about the memes that are out this morning and online. Somebody got a camera shot from behind the president with giant Sharpie writing that were his lines that he used when he stopped into his mini press gaggle yesterday. Yeah. He's a 74-year-old man?
Yeah.
I think that's right. 74-year-old man. If he needs to write in big Sharpie, no matter what he says, so what? There's other things to talk about
care.
Here.
You know, and he's not a Latin speaker, so he had to write quid pro quo down,
right,
down
right,
the thing.
Right.
But look, the testimony was pretty devastating. It'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. I would like to see Bolton testify, but it was an indictment of Pence. It was an indictment of Trump, Mulvaney. Certainly an indictment of the Secretary of State. It was just it was an evisceration.
The Democrats also have an opportunity to extend this out to make sure they talk to everybody,
yeah,
or wrap it up by Christmas. Wrapping it up by Christmas is clearly politics. I know this is a political thing in its entirety, but don't the Democrats run the risk of looking like it was just for show?
Yeah, I mean, there's a balance between, you know, how long do you keep it going and can you keep people's interest in this versus being thorough and getting through it. You know, the Republican talking points of this is a show trial and this isn't for real. I think when you start to look at the substance of the testimony, it's pretty clear this is very, very real and very threatening to the Trump presidency, whether that means he gets removed from office or it just hurts his reelection campaign. This is pretty devastating to him. I'd like to see the Democrats play out the process as long as it takes without being unreasonable in that and not trying to artificially wrap it up by Christmas.
What are you hearing? You can tell us all the secrets.
I think it's going to go into January and February. Okay. I do. I think they will not be wrapped up. I think there's just too many people to hear from, and I think that you know, there can be too many recess days with the holidays coming up that I don't see how they wrap this up by Christmas.
More coming up with Eric Edelstein. And you guys, again, now you're welcome to text 312-981-7200. In case you missed it, Jussie Smollett, who faked a crime, is suing the city. That takes, you talk about caca? That takes caca. Eric Edelstein is here, and we can put this impeachment thing to bed for now. We don't know if there's going to be more witnesses going from here or not, but one thing I would recommend to people, there's a lot of folks who apparently gone on Yelp and trashed the Providence Hotel chain,
yeah,
which is owned by Gordon Sondland. First off, I think if you can afford what's called a boutique luxury hotel, you're probably not going to Yelp for your recommendation for it. But even so, this is the new world we live in.
Yeah.
If I can mass trash something that means something to you, I'm going to do it.
It's the shame culture that we're in. You know, the president Obama gave a great speech about this, you know, cancellation culture, cancel culture.
Yeah, cancel culture, yeah.
And, you know,
That was a great speech.
It's almost medieval now where we stone people in the public square as soon as they're accused of something or we don't like them.
Everyone's horrible, triggered. Everyone's on edge.
Right, but it's just...
And it's a soundbite culture, though. I think it started with this soundbite culture.
I think
media perpetuated it.
Well, and social media perpetuated it.
Absolutely.
Well, there's an assumption that we know what we're talking about.
Right.
And therefore, we're going to immediately write it and post it show people we know what we're talking about. When we weren't in a room, we weren't in a meeting, we don't have any background, we're going off something we heard or something we read a headline on. That's a really dangerous place to live.
Where was all this anger and all this hatred before social media? What did we do with it? Did people just swallow it? And, you know, it's just this kind of explosion of hate that comes out online.
I think you're saying the same thing. I think the access to it perpetuates it.
It's so easy and it's so immediate.
Everybody has their own show now.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's their own
broadcaster.
Right.
Yeah.
What are the Democrats doing, if anything, about social media and fake ads? Because Facebook isn't going to do anything. So
right. You know, Google is taking some steps. They've announced some new ad rules that they're putting in place for some more transparency. You know, the tech companies need to do more. These are very sophisticated state actors, Chinese government, Iranian government, Russian government, where they have very, very sophisticated operations to infiltrate these things.
But it seems that some private money needs to be thrown.
Well, you know what needs to, I don't mean to interrupt you,
but
needs to be done is the federal government.
I know, but...
And the problem is this administration won't do it. Congress has allocated money for it, but McConnell held it up and then Trump won't do it. But if we're going to take on state actors who are trying to infiltrate our democracy, we got to have a state response, meaning the federal government has to get involved in this, and they're not.
We know for a fact that the House has, in fact, passed several bills that Mitch McConnell has not brought to the floor.
Yeah.
There is no reason for the constant conversation that the worst thing about any sort of impeachment examination is that nothing gets done. The actual committees that hear from these witnesses are a very small percentage of the members of the House and the Senate. There is work getting done. There are conversations getting done. But both parties hide behind this. Well, I can't get anything done now.
Right.
Look at us.
Right. Well, I don't always agree with Bernie Sanders, but he said last night that Congress can walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. I know it's a bad impression, but that's what he said. And the fact of the matter is there are things they can do. And I'll just go again, get on my soapbox and say, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. There's one thing Congress should agree on, which is we should be protecting the way people vote in our democracy from foreign intruders. I don't care who it helps or who it hurts.
Isn't it amazing how that's the initial problem, and we just have so lost that message?
Right. Oh, it's okay. Let the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians come in here and screw around with our elections. We don't care. I mean, come on.
It's outrageous.
That's what's so infuriating. When Mark Zuckerberg says, oh, we can't help, we can't really throw enough behind this to solve this problem. Meanwhile, they're aggregating all of our private information and selling it for billions of dollars.
Look,
if you can figure that out, you can figure out how to protect us as well.
Their business model is eyeballs, and there's no financial incentive for them to do anything unless the federal government or other regulatory bodies say, you're going to do this or you're going to pay the consequences of it.
We sit here 348 days from next year's election. You hear it, I hear it all the time. Why vote? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Especially in Chicago. We all know who's going to win. It doesn't matter. Well, what do you say to people in the Senate?
I say if you're upset with the moment, if you find it overwhelming or anxiety-producing, or you're scared of the future, then you better participate. If you don't, then don't complain and don't talk about it. And I think, I know G's looking at me with that, I'm very worried about who's going to vote. I do think you're going to have historic turnout in this election. I mean, you had it in 2018. You had the highest midterm turnout since I think 1912 or 1920, something like that. And I think you're going to have an historic turnout in this presidential election, and that's ultimately healthy.
And math is the winner. Math is always the winner.
That's right.
Because all you hear is the base, the base, the base. If only the far left and the far right show up to vote,
right?
Yeah, you're going to get what you expect. If everybody shows up to vote, anything's possible. And Donald J. Trump was the last person who thought he would be elected in 2016.
Right.
That sort of thing can happen in a local race, a government race, or a statewide race, and obviously a national race. You've right. got
to
vote.
And here's what I would say. I, this is a little contrary to the conventional wisdom, which is we're so polarized and everybody's in one camp or another. I fundamentally believe, having done campaigns a long time, we are still a pendulum nation, and people swing back and forth. And I think that's why you talk about, oh, there are these Obama-Trump voters. You know, there were Reagan Democrats. You know, the middle of this country swings back and forth and don't identify with a party.
I just meet so many people, though, that don't vote because they truly don't feel that anyone cares about them.
It's an absolute excuse.
And anything that happens in D.C. or even in local government, it's not going to affect them or make their lives easier.
Well, here's the ultimate truth, that what Congress does every day and what the state government does every day affects your life dramatically more than who the president of the United States is 90% of the time. And all it takes is some research. And I don't mean a lot of research. You could spend 30 minutes on a place like Ballotpedia right. and find out
and
who your candidates are and talk about it. And the judges' race. The Illinois judges are always rated on right. whether or not they should be approved or not approved. You got to put a little work into it.
And I just think that mindset, and I not criticizing you, I hear that too, is self-perpetuating. And if you say it's not going to matter, then it doesn't matter because people don't participate. And so you have to reverse that trend and get people involved in the process. Again, people are so upset. And again, I'm not saying just people on the left. People on the right are pretty stoked too, that I just think you're going to have a healthy, robust turnout in this election.
Headed into Thanksgiving, I want to thank you. You know, people say, what are you thankful for? I say, I'm thankful for Eric. I think that's clear. I know your daughter's coming home from school.
Yeah.
I hope you have a great family Thanksgiving.
Thanks, you too.
And thanks for all you do for coming in and talking about this stuff, because it matters, and it's great to have your perspective all the time.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for doing this, and I wish you guys all a happy Thanksgiving.
And we'll come back in just a second and continue. Dean will join us from Mexico. Well, of course he will. We'll see how the wall's coming. Next on 7, well, right after the news, I should say, on the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where we'll go next. Some changes around here. A brand new company owns this radio station, and it's called Nexstar. And if you spend a lot of money buying a company, you get to make whatever changes you like. One of those changes, which I'm excited and disappointed at the same time, is that G is going to be leaving the show after, I believe, the shortest tenure of anyone that's worked with me. I am excited for you to host your own show. You're going to be hosting the Noon Business Lunch. But I hope you'll still take my call.
Of course, and I hope to be a good steward for the show, for a show that has been cultivated so wisely and with so much care by Steve Bertrand. So hopefully I can live up to his standard.
That'll all be coming up on the first Monday in December, as will a new time slot, if you will, a new change. We're getting up earlier. This may be why G's leaving. But the show goes from 6 to 10 to 5 to 9 starting on Monday, December 2nd. So we will still have Steve Grzanich's perspective on business. Steve's done a phenomenal job with the opening bill. And Steve will have an education for me on business each morning, and information for you as well.
Will I still get a chapter in the book that you're going to write, even though it was such a short tenure?
I'm just not sure where I'm moving it.
Oh, no.
Forward in the book or backward? But anyway, there's a lot of folks who are texting this morning about a number of things that have come up in the media this morning as well, and that's just a piece of it. We'll talk more about it next week. Let's go south. I don't know what the word for foolish is in Spanish, but, you know, I could throw it out at my friend, Dean Richards, in the middle of
El
one
Dopo.
Of his... I'm sorry?
El Dopo.
La Morana?
I like the Americans who just add L to everything, and then an O at the end to make it sound like they're trying to speak Spanish.
You know what I saw in Prague? Because you think it's a cliche, but it's really not. I saw, and they weren't on the trip with us, but I saw some American tourists talking louder in English. You know the move I'm talking about?
Yep. I saw it yesterday myself.
Somehow, because if it's louder English, those who don't speak it will understand it better.
Yeah, I don't understand. It's embarrassing. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, at least here, you know, this is a tourist place, Cabo, where I am in Mexico doing some interviews. Hard work, hard grueling work, I might add.
Right, of course.
Everybody speaks English. So there is no need to scream your words at people in the hopes that they will understand you better. They probably went, you know, finished college and have a pretty good understanding of what's happening.
All right, so remind people why you're there. And again, tell people, in case they missed it yesterday, what you were told about the ocean when you checked in.
Oh, don't go in the ocean. It'll kill you. yeah, that's what I some, like, two or three other people told me that yesterday. Because, first of all, I'm here. I'm not having fun. This is not.
No. It's work.
This is not relaxing. It's this 80-degree weather.
Who's the trouble he's seen?
You know, you could get. I have to stay out of the sun. It's very dangerous. I'm putting my life in jeopardy just walking around in the sunshine and this beautiful weather. It can be dead. That's something else that could kill you if you're not. It's not just the undercurrent.
I certainly hope, Dave, that Dean brought sunblock.
Well, sunblock, probably an SPF 75, something like that. But you also have to watch for shells on the beach.
Oh,
because those
sure
will cut you.
Yep, they sure will. I mean, this is a very, very dangerous place. Yeah, but I put my life on the line because that's the kind of dedicated.
So that we don't have to. And what stars were you forced to talk to?
Well, I haven't talked to them yet. I'm going to talk to them today.
Okay.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Kevin Hart, Jack Black, Danny DeVito, and
Awkwafina.
Yes, Awkwafina. She's in this new Jumanji movie. Thanks for reminding me.
You've been traveling a lot.
It's the stars of this new Jumanji, the Next Level movie. So we're going to talk to them today, and then I'm going to hop on a plane and, thank goodness, come back to someplace where it's safe, Chicago, Illinois. So that's what it was. But here's what I did yesterday. Not a damn thing.
Oh, is that right? So was there a reason you were in town early?
Well, they showed us the movie nights ago. Tuesday night we saw the movie. And then yesterday they had a day of activities for the press, for people who wanted to go bungee jumping or zip lining. Neither of those two things appeal to me in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the more dangerous thing, and that's just hang out at the pool all day. had some tropical drinks. That was dangerous. I got a brain freeze at one point that almost killed me.
Yeah, you are lucky to be alive, and thank goodness for you.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll talk a little show business, and also I have a clown story because Dean, he loves the clowns. Back to Dean, live from Mexico. What part of Mexico are you in again?
Cabo San Lucas.
All right, stand by, Dean, 1 second. I have important information I forgot to impart, and now I just remembered seconds ago. Blackhawks fans, your local Chevy dealers are giving a gift of glass seats just in time for the holidays. Give the ultimate stocking stuffer, two seats on a glass. How generous is Chevy to do this?
Incredible.
It's not just White Lightning, that fabulous vehicle that I'm driving
that's
around.
That's part of it.
I'm telling you right now, you get two seats on the glass, you're going to be up to, well, face-to-face with Taves and Kane and everybody with these glass seats. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older to enter. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com. Get in on this now. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and drive with Kane and Taves Drive.
Catch Living Healthy Chicago this Saturday at 9 a.m. Learn about the struggles and successes of everyday Chicagoans with health and fitness. Living Healthy, Saturday, 9 a.m. on WGN-TV.
So, Dean, I think your love for clowns has been well documented.
I think so. I'm proud of that. It's not like, all clowns, but, when it comes to WGN's Bozo, the history of Chicago, Chicago Children's TV, the Bozo and Cookie the Clown and so forth. Yes, I am a lover of the red nose.
So this is a text, not to this show, but a text yesterday afternoon. I have no idea what the context of it was or what they were discussing on the air at the time, but I could not help but think of you. I'll read it. I was involved in a car accident with my two young children. We were struck by a car driven by a clown in full clown regalia, including makeup, outfit, wig, and shoes. When a clown stepped out of the car and came over to my vehicle, she, the clown, was upset to see kids in my car. The clown said, "Oh, no. Not again." So should, obviously, the large question plaguing society, Dean, is should clowns drive?
No, they should not. They absolutely should not. This aren't is their, why. Yeah. Whenever,
aren't their feet too whenever, big for the pedal?
Well, you know, for one thing, not all clowns have the giant feet, but most do. But whenever Bozo makes an appearance, Bozo has a driver. Bozo has a handler to make sure that everything stays safe, because I've been in the car. I've driven Bozo many times myself.
I've seen the photos.
Yeah, and, you know, I've been in the car when Bozo is in the car, always in the passenger seat, always buckled up. And when people are driving and they see Bozo in the car, they slow down, they beep their horn. These days, people actually slow down, open their windows with their cameras, and try to take a picture of Bozo while they're driving on the expressway. So it's very dangerous.
It's unsafe in 100 ways.
Yes, it is. It really is. You know, that's why we now have a motorcade and shut down the major expressways whenever Bozo is on the move. Clown One, we call it.
I understand.
Clown One.
Does the does the security team have a code name for Bozo?
Yes, they do. Clowny One.
Clowny One.
I think it should be a different name. That sounds too obvious to me.
Yeah, I think they should call him something that's a little more clandestine, Dave. Like possibly, oh, I don't know, Dave. Dave is on the run.
Something like that.
Yes.
Or just go with, yeah, instead of POTUS, go with like BTC.
Oh, right. Look at you. Yeah, yeah, just go with the initials. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so let me ask you a question. You're going to be traveling tomorrow, so you won't be with us, right?
No, I will be back. I'm leaving this afternoon. I'll be back tomorrow morning at the WGN-TV, where we're having our big, our sixth annual hunger food drive.
Oh.
To feed people who are homeless and the people who need food for the holidays. So we'll be back, and yes, we'll be doing the segment live with you tomorrow morning.
Well, the reason I bring it up is we did not want to miss out on the fact that, you know, we want your full Mr. Rogers movie review. We'll get that tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll get that tomorrow, and also my review for Frozen 2.
Cindy,
the much anticipated Frozen 2.
Cindy's on the phone from Crystal Lake. Cindy, you're a rock lover?
Oh, I love him. But more importantly, not just from his movies or the wrestling, is he is a humongous Instagram influencer with his workouts. And he's just right. Amazing. All the guys at the gym and, you know, my young adult son, we all follow him. And it's just amazing, his workout, you know, Instagram, ITV stuff that he does.
And yeah, and we would all be, thank you for listening, Cindy, we would all be better suited, Dean, if we would do the same workout. I like the one where he moves a building.
The other thing that I love about his Instagram is he then posts his after-workout meal,
uh-huh,
and it's humongous.
Yeah.
He eats like, it's like 40 pieces of sushi, and, you know, and he always has a drink of tequila as well. Tequila is his drink of choice.
He's a big tequila drinker. I believe that maybe because he's part owner of a tequila company.
So ah.
There may be some profit margins involved in all of that. But I can't speak for Steve. I think it's true. I know it is for me. I could easily eat 40 pieces of sushi, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I like to call that the appetizer. A couple of texters suggesting that Bozo's security name should be CLOTUS, Clown of the United States, CLOTUS.
Yeah, CLOTUS would be good. When I talk, I'm going to talk with The Rock and Kevin Hart today. I'm very excited to talk with Kevin because this is his first round of interviews since the terrible accident, since his spinal surgery,
uh-huh,
all of that. So I think we're going to have a good conversation. But I'm going to ask Rock about his workout and his post. You know, it's that time of year. We're all going to be eating too much. Does he have some tips for us for more healthy eating and working out for the holidays?
The average American, Dean, statistically, it's a proven fact, between Thanksgiving Day and New Year's Day, gains 74 pounds.
Well,
I mean, you know.
I can only speak for myself.
Let's see. 815. Dean, when you're driving a clown around, who wears the clown name tag and who wears the moron? I think that's self-evident.
I think you can all make up your own minds on that.
And 309, I thought all the clowns were at the impeachment hearings. Yeah, da-da-da-da-da. Look what they did there.
Da, da, da.
All right, a couple of things in showbiz before we run out of time. Grammy snubs.
Yeah, there were, you know, the big wins yesterday. The most nominations went to Billie Eilish and to the other name that I would pay $100 for if I could remember right at the moment.
Well, you tell us about Billie Eilish.
Lizzo got 8 nominations. Billie Eilish, same. She's the youngest artist to receive nominations in all the top category. But people are talking about the snubs this year. Taylor Swift. Snubbed this year. BTS, the Korean super boy band, snubbed this year. Halsey, Maren Morris, among those that were snubbed this year. So Madonna snubbed this year. Some of the some of the classic artists not getting nominations at all this year. So it's going to be interesting. The awards come out sometime after January. But that's the buzz on the beach here, Steve, Grammy-wise.
Lizzo will be appearing as a musical guest on Saturday Night Live on December 21st when Eddie Murphy returns to host.
Right.
How about that?
Right. They also announced yesterday that Scarlett Johansson is going to be back, and she's going to be a six-time SNL host. She is engaged to Colin Jost, who hosts... Weekend Update.
Right. The fine people of Wyoming moved to Wyoming or grew up there and stayed for a reason. It's big sky country.
You buy land in Wyoming because you want things natural and beautiful and to be, unaffected. Kanye West, as we told you, purchased quite a bit of land there to build this super home. And the first thing that he wanted to do was start building an amphitheater on his ranch. Now, it's his property, but the Park County Planning and Zoning Commission there decided that he cannot build an amphitheater on his property. They don't want it in this vast land of Wyoming, that it has to be included within his residential space, but he can't build something separate on the side there. So this may be a little bit of a blow to the huge money that he spent to purchase this property there.
Wyoming's slogan, I'm being told, is the world needs more cowboys. What's big sky country? Is that Montana? Okay.
Yes.
And finally, Samuel L. Jackson dropped from what?
Well, he wasn't dropped from a movie, but a movie was supposed to come out during the holiday season called The Banker. A story about a tech company that involved in some dirty dealings like that could ever happen in real life.
Sure.
But Samuel L. Jackson and Anthony Mackie starred in the movie. It was supposed to come out mid-December. And yesterday, abruptly, Apple TV had dropped releasing the movie. They're not saying why. All they say is that there are some concerns about the movie that were brought to their attention that need some more time to figure out. They didn't say specifically what that was, but this never happens where a movie, especially with big stars, especially around Christmas time, suddenly gets pulled from the schedule like this. So there's something going on with all that. We'll just keep you posted on that.
All right, and Ed called. We don't have time to grab Ed's call, but Ed, we thank you for the question. Ed wants to make sure I'm right about it and that Lizzo is performing on SNL, not Wizzo.
It is Lizzo, yes.
That is correct. Wizzo has passed away. So
all right.
That would be quite the headline if somehow Wizzo was performing on SNL. So today I'm going to talk with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Kevin Hart, and the stars of Jumanji 2. I'll be back in Chicago. I'll tell you more about it tomorrow. If any of them get mad at me, call me names, punch me out, we'll have some good stories to tell.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
See ya.
That's DNA. Okay. Take 29. We'll come back with the news. Oh, we're going to the news now. Well, you know why? Because Steve's standing by. He's got things to do. He can't be waiting around for me, right, Steve?
No, they pay me to wait for you. I'm serving at your pleasure, sir.
All right. Well, stand by then, because as soon as the music starts, it's going to be time for you to update us on everything going on. And I think I can almost hear it now. We're not going to have time to get through all of this. Maybe I can extend it into next hour. But I do have the new list of toys that you need to be careful with. Remember, Mary Vanderbilt, you know this. As the other grandparent on the show, this is the stuff that you have to be careful giving to kids because some safety group has determined that the kids shouldn't play with these because they'll shoot somebody.
Or chemistry kits or, yeah, erector sets.
Unsafe toys. James Swartz, director of World Against Toys Causing Harm, is the person who is in charge of all this stuff. You want to hear about a couple of these?
Yeah.
How about a realistic toy machine gun that's actually being sold at toy stores around the country? It fires a plastic pellet-sized thing. It can sting or leave welts, but I think the symbolism of this is probably the bigger problem.
Agreed.
There's also the danger from strangulation by a pull-along caterpillar. This is a toy for infants. They're encouraging infants... toys not to have, you know, long ropes and things that you can pull along. Mm-hmm. I think infant is wrong. An infant's not going to actually pull
it. Toddler.
Mm-hmm. Toddler. I would also say that, yeah, I get why this could be a problem in certain circumstances, but then again, there is that thing where you have to actually watch the children. there's a toy in here. There's several that are pointed out that Nerf makes that are problematic. One is called the Nerf Ultra One, which fires the world's farthest flying Nerf dart ever. We'll shoot a Nerf dart up to 120 feet. And, of course, the great problem there is it takes a certain amount of pressure and power to fire a Nerf dart 120 feet. And if you're a boy, you're going to get super close to your cousin, and you're going to shoot him at point-blank range, and he's going to end up in the hospital.
My brother used to nail me with Nerfs, and my kids, my two boys, would just love the Nerf guns. We had so many of them, the big, huge ones, the small ones, all sizes.
Nickelodeon is being cited as problematic for their new ice cream-scented Nickelodeon slime.
Ooh, that sounds edible.
Okay, the words ice cream and slime should not be together.
The organization notes that Nickelodeon's frozen treat slime includes mint chocolate chip, berry smoothie, and more. You know, as an adult, you can take that risk. You can go, really nothing to eat in the house. Hey, that mint chocolate chip slime. Maybe.
But if it smells really good, you get enticed, especially if you're a little kid.
Is it prepackaged or frozen?
No, I think you got to make it.
Oh.
And then one more, and I'll do a bunch of these later as well. The Power Rangers electronic cheetah claw, which you grab in your hand with a grip, and you push a button, and the claws come out. This is perfect for running and poking your eyes out. You know, when you always thought your mom was making that up? Turns out she wasn't.
Do you remember the big boxing glove? My son had one of those boxing gloves.
A giant boxing glove.
Talk about dangerous. I mean, you just go around smacking everything.
Well, I mean, you can take a lot of safe toys and turn them into danger toys.
Well, sure you can.
If you're a little boy, you sure can.
You can take a stick and it's dangerous.
Yeah, that's why the Steve Cochran running stick that'll actually poke your eye out has really caught on. Jeremy Carlton joins us. Now, Coach, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning to you all.
And good morning to you.
Good morning.
I was out there Sunday night. Nice run going on. And I said this, Coach, tell me if I'm wrong about this. Even the other night, where the first two periods were flat at best, get two goals early in the third. You got 6 minutes left with a chance to tie. It didn't work out. There's an empty netter at the end. But that felt like a good loss to me. In other words, I know the streak ended, but the team feels like it's in a good place.
Well, I wouldn't call it a good loss just because we're not happy with how we played the first two periods.
Okay.
But what we did show was that we're not out of it. We're never out of it. And that we have the firepower to come back, and that we stuck together in the third. We give ourselves a chance to climb back into the game. So that will take with us. And then it's just the response to make sure we start on time. And I mean, we just weren't very good the first two periods. And you know what? They're a really good team. they have an excellent decor, and their forwards tremendous work ethic. They forecheck really hard, and they backcheck even harder. So, you know, that was a difficult team to play against, but you know, we would have liked to perform better the first two periods, and then probably we do win that game.
Well, one reason you were able to come back in that game was you've got this 31-year-old guy out there who kind of ignites you.
You talking about Grandpa Kane?
Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah. That's the guy. And you look at some of the milestones he's hitting, and I mentioned this a little earlier, 599 assists now. He's getting up there close to 1,000 points. You haven't coached him for all that long, but can you tell when he gets kind of into one of these grooves where everything seems to be clicking for him?
Yeah, no question. It's and you can kind of feel it coming. Like I thought we were when we were on the West Coast trip there, you know, L.A. and Anaheim and San Jose. He wasn't quite untracked yet, but you could tell it was close. And, you know, he was able to break through, and now he's really feeling it, and he's making a difference for us every night. And, you know, against Carolina, it didn't happen for him early, but once he got going in the third, it just felt like every time he touched the puck, he was doing something special. So pretty exciting player to watch, and obviously he's a treat to coach, and there's going to be a lot more of those big milestones coming up because he doesn't stop.
Who are you noticing is having a great season that we're not talking about? And I know you never miss a minute of this show, Coach, so who would it be?
Yeah, I'm just guessing who you're not talking about.
What?
Probably, you know, in the games that he's played, I think Murphy's been really good. He's taken another step as far as his contribution to the team.
Blocking a bunch of shots.
Yeah, he's doing a good job, and I'm sure you guys talk about the goaltenders, so I don't need to go there. I think Brandon Saad's been excellent, you know, basically start to finish here. There's
what about you? What about you? How would you rate you the so far this year? if you had to give yourself a grade, what would you give yourself right now?
I don't know about that, but I got to get better. Got to keep getting better.
Well, we all need to improve.
You're in a really, I mean, I know you look at an 82 game schedule, and you're not saying, "Well, there's an easy game. This is an easy game." But you're in a really exceedingly, you would think, difficult stretch now. You just come off playing Vegas and Nashville, and you get Carolina. Now you got Tampa Bay coming in. Then you get back to divisional play with two against Dallas, two against Colorado. But this. Tampa Bay has seemed to be a tough matchup for the Blackhawks, but that they're kind of that way for everybody, aren't they?
Yeah, they're a good team. I think, you know, it's kind of a league now. They're all tough stretches. Like, there's really not any easy games. Every team that comes in, it kind of depends on their form, like how they're playing at the time. You know, we just had, you know, Vancouver, Pittsburgh, Toronto, Vegas, you know, beforehand you think, wow, that's really tough. You know, those teams are going to be difficult. Nashville, obviously, but, you know, it's a different game every night. And if you take care of your own performance, typically you're going to get points because the league is so tight. So the teams that play well, they get points on that night.
Steven Stamkos has been one of the NHL stars for many years. Now, had a great season last year, maybe a little behind that pace this year so far, but he's 29 years old. Is he just getting dangerous? He's certainly not past his prime.
No, he's still got a lot of hockey left in him. And I think that team, they had such a good season last year, regular season, and then, you know, playoffs certainly didn't go the way they wanted to. And I think they're pacing themselves, and they're making sure that they're ready for the important time of year. They're still a very difficult club, and they're gonna, of course, they got to win enough games to get in, and they'd like to have home ice and all those things. But they had a really good team, so don't let, you know, the start. No one should be fooled. They got a great lineup, and it's gonna be a tough game.
Yeah, Kucherov got shaken up the other night. Apparently, he's going to play tonight. When you talk about understanding that it's really more about your performance night in and night out, because if you do what you do, then you're going to end up with getting points. Is that a tough thing to get across to young guys who haven't been through the rigors of an NHL season before, like a guy like Kirby Dach, even though he may be the exception, I think, to a lot of rules?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely really important, and more important than ever for those guys. I'm not sure that it's not like they're resistant to it. Mm-hmm. It's just they probably don't realize how important it is when you play 82 games and every night it's a test. You really can't focus on anything else other than your next shift, your own performance. We're going to talk about the opposition and certain things they're doing and maybe areas, you know, we can have success, but it all comes back to what we're trying to do and focusing on that and focusing on your next shift. And I think for young players, as soon as they figure that out, then they become really good pros and excellent NHLers.
Brian Campbell will be honored tonight with One Last Shift. How much of his career did you catch?
I think a good portion. You know, he played for a long time.
He's great.
And was a great player for a long time. So, obviously, he's got a lot of respect from a lot of people in the hockey world.
Yeah, so it'd be fun to see a tribute to him tonight. Blackhawks do a great job of that as well. Last word to you. And normally you don't ask a hockey question. You take Coach out of the hockey world, but this is hockey-related.
This is hockey-related, Coach. So here we go. I would like to know if you practice yoga and are as flexible as your goalies.
Good question.
I did when I was playing. At the end, anyway, my last few years, I got into it, and I thought it was excellent.
So what do you do to de-stress, then? Anything to de-stress? And
now, mm-hmm. I
remain zen.
Hang out with my kids.
Yeah, and he talks to me on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Who's more bendable, Crawford or Leonard?
I don't know. Actually.
You know what, Coach? That's the exact right answer to a stupid question. Good for you, man. Thank you, Coach. Enjoy tonight. I feel another streak coming on.
Sounds good.
See you later.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. You know, that's one that you really ought to just isolate.
Super Joe, you got to isolate that.
Just use it at random on the show.
Who's more bendy? I don't know. Idiot?
He didn't say idiot.
Oh, he said idiot.
Silence. Yeah. I think the silence said it.
He didn't verbalize idiot, but he said idiot. Now, let me tell you something. He wasn't wrong. You know, I love doing this show and I love being here, but I got to tell you, I would rather be right now at a school on the near north side where Abigail is doing her first on stage performance.
Oh no.
Yeah.
They'll take a video.
I'm getting some pictures sent to me now. It's pretty cool.
Is she starring in Oklahoma this morning?
She is. Yeah. She's got a show-stopping number like you wouldn't believe. And this may be a familiar voice to you. Mystery guest, please say something.
Oh, good morning, Steve Cochran.
Oh,
Dave Bennett.
Oh, look how professional.
Happy Alana Days
week. Oh, look how professional she is now.
It's almost like she's done this before.
Oh.
That. Andrea Darlis is here, looking fabulous. So good to see you.
It's great to see you guys, too.
Happy Very Thanksgiving.
Happy, to be here. Happy Thanksgiving early, and all your families. Love you guys. Miss you guys.
Mary. And
Andrea.
And right now, you are working with the University of Illinois.
In
what capacity?
I am. I'm the Senior Director of Constituent Engagement based in Chicago. So we are painting the town orange and blue all year long, but especially this week because it's Illini Days.
And introduce who you brought in.
Dr. Robert Jones, our Chancellor, and Robin Kaler, our Director of Public Affairs.
Nice to see both of you. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here, Steve.
Explain what a chancellor does.
You know, that's a fundamental question everybody wants to know, and I'm still trying to figure out myself.
But the definition is slightly different from university to university, right, as far as duties?
You know, that's one of the things some of us often complain about. We wish somebody would make a decree that it would be one way or the other. Uh-huh. Some universities, the chief executive officer, so that's basically what I am. I'm the chief executive officer of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and I'm called a chancellor. Prior to coming here, I was the chief executive officer of SUNY Albany, and I was the president.
Okay.
Same job, just different title.
The responsibility is immense.
Yes.
So who do you need to recognize on your staff?
Everyone. Everyone does an amazing job.
You're not responsible for Coach Lovey's beard, though, right? That was his choice?
No, that was part of his free expression kind of framework. Yeah.
Andrea, jump in.
Oh, I just, if we can talk about the bowl, if we can talk about Illini Days, that would be
huge. Talk about Illini Days a little bit. What's happening?
Well, Illini Days, this is one of our biggest weeks in Chicago. We've had events going on from Monday through Friday, starting with a panel that Robin moderated, because next year is the 150th anniversary, mm-hmm. Robin?
It's the centennial of when women were first admitted to the University of Illinois.
How about that?
So Dave, you remember that?
Yeah. So so we had some leaders of the university who are women talk a little bit about their journeys and how far women have come.
Yeah, and tonight we have a panel in Oak Brook that I'll be moderating with some of these names. Get this, Don Edwards, he's the CEO of FlexPoint, Kim Lewis, who you know, mm-hmm. the CEO of CurlMix, Jennifer mm-hmm. Weigel, and we have a student, Trey Harris, who's going to be on our panel. And we had a wonderful event at Soldier Field earlier this week with Josh Whitman and all of the coaches. Without Lovey, though, because obviously he's a little busy right now with all of our coaches.
How about that football team's turnaround? How about that?
Isn't that amazing?
And the Marching Illini made an appearance.
Fun.
Yeah, the Marching Illini were in Federal Plaza. We had a couple hundred people out there in the rain watching the Marching Illini perform a concert on the streets of Chicago. So it was very cool.
You know, you could have called us to come over. You know how I am with my drum majorette background.
I know. I like the uniform that you wear, too.
Sparkly. We'll come back, talk more about the University of Illinois, and we'll actually let Mary Vandeveld jump in, since she's a proud alumni who's desperately embarrassed that she didn't dress for this occasion, and she's hiding in Traffic Central.
Former Illini.
We're going to make her come in and say hi to these fine folks. And our friend Andrea Darlis is here, hawking her favorite topic, the University of Illinois. And in studio as well, Robin and Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones, what do I call you? Is Dr. Jones okay?
Robert would do just fine.
Robert's okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I don't have to be afraid of calling him Robert.
Huh? Well, now that you guys know all the same people, because I was telling you, Dr. Jones was casually mentioning his friend Janet Jackson in conversation one day, and I said, oh, I'm sorry, Janet Jackson, the superstar? And he casually said, oh, yeah.
We have some mutual friends in Minneapolis where I spent some time, and I'll tell you a quick Janet Jackson story. I was doing stand-up comedy one night, and Janet and Terry and Jimmy and everybody came out. And afterwards, I'd like to tell people I had a long talk with Janet, because she stood up and went, you were very funny. That was the entire conversation, so we were very, very close. You know how wordy she can be.
That's very typical of the conversations you have with Janet. And I can tell you, we are eternally grateful for her, because the group that I sang with got a recording contract with Jimmy Jam and Terry, even though they were very much aware of our music. They used to come to our performances, but they were finishing up a Rhythm Nation album.
How about that?
And she decided that, okay, well, what are we going to do tonight? And we happened to be doing a show called Music for Martin at the Ortway Theater over in St. Paul.
One of the great theaters in the country.
One of the greatest in the country. And she absolutely fell in love with the group. And I guess she elbowed Jimmy throughout the whole concert so much he was sore on his left or right side. And they brought her backstage, introduced her to us. And 30 days later, we had a recording contract with the Sounds of Blackness. And they started Perspective Records just to record our music. And so that's my Janet Jackson story.
And? Two-time Grammy winner?
Yes, two-time Grammy winner for the Sounds of Blackness,
that.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about that? Did you ever consider going pro?
Well, I was pro.
I know you were.
We can't get him to sing, though.
I won't
sing for us.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about, we know the good news of the football team and all that, but what are some of the pressures now at the University of Illinois? It seems like funding is in order. Applications are at a high. What do you need to say about that?
I mean, the way we describe this period that we're in now is absolutely record-breaking. We have the largest freshman class in the history of the university, the largest student population in the history. We went over 50,000 students. In fact, we're over 51,000 students this year in Urbana-Champaign. We have the most diverse class in the history of the university in terms of race and ethnicity, about 23%. And almost 24% of our students are first-generation college students. It's kind of amazing when you think about at this point in time that there are still a large number of people out there who are the first in their families to pursue a higher education. And as a public land-grant university, that's something that we are very proud of.
It's a huge deal.
And Robert, also the first year that the students from families with an income of $61,000 or less get to go tuition and fee-free.
Yeah, that's the other big idea that we think is a game changer for us. We came up with this idea, announced it last September, and it's been a game changer. It's called the Illinois Commitment, where we decided that we knew that there was a large cohort of students who never bothered to apply to the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign.
Felt like they couldn't afford it?
They couldn't afford it. Absolutely right, Steve. They felt they couldn't afford it. And so, therefore, why waste my time if I can't afford it? And so we decided to take the affordability, i.e. the sticker price, off the table for this cohort of young people by making a four-year commitment for free tuition and fees for any student from a family with the income of $61,000 or less, or three-year commitment if you were a transfer student. You have gone to one of the community colleges.
It's a huge deal.
And it has been transformative. It resulted in this fall, 30% of the students from Illinois who applied and enrolled at the university received the Illinois commitment. 30%.
Well, God bless, man. It's a big deal.
It's a game changer.
It's a big deal. And with the stresses and the pressures the state of Illinois has, a lot of them self-made in Springfield, it's a very big deal to keep the great brains being trained at the U of I in the state of Illinois. And
absolutely,
this is the kind of loyalty that gets engendered by that kind of move by the university. So it's great. I got to get Mary Vanderbilt in here before we run out of time. A fine graduate of said university. What do you want to say, Mary?
Oh, I'm just so excited you guys are here in this Illini Days. I mean, you had one in the summer, correct, as well?
That was Illini Fest.
Oh, Illini Fest.
Yes, which we're doing again, we can safely say, January of 2020. We'll be back in Millennium
Park. And I have to say, I think Mary could have shown up in her Illini outfit and it still would have fit her.
No question. Yeah, she looks great.
It disintegrated, sorry. Especially my
sequence to disintegrate. Yeah.
You got a question for these fine pair?
Well, I this is the best question. How is the mood on campus now that CAMS is closed?
Oh, I thought you were going to say because the bowl bid.
Well, that too.
Well, explain what CAMS is, Andre.
CAMS is one of the most famous bars in downtown. It's campus town. It's right downtown.
How has that affected things, Chancellor? Are we okay?
Well, I think we will be just fine.
It's reopening a few blocks away.
Oh,
it'll be fine.
Let's just say my Thursday and Friday afternoons when I'm working late in the office is a bit quiet now. My office, I overlook, when I look out of my window, there's
CAMS.
For dollar
for the moment.
Are your feet still stuck to the floor?
Yes.
Like most of ours.
That was their slogan?
People were literally leaving when they were
with parts
closing
of CAMS.
It down with parts of CAMS, you know, parts of the wall and benches, walking out with them.
Actually,
nice history.
One of my daughters or friends is in the sorority across the way from CAMS, which is at Thetas.
Thetas.
And she said, can I get a piece of CAMS for you? I said, yes.
Yes.
Steal something.
Right? Yeah, please feel free.
There we go.
This is the kind of behavior that got her kicked out after 4 years and a diploma.
Right. Exactly.
All right, Andrea, last word.
Dave
wants to ask anything about
just,
the bowl.
I'm going to be in Champaign a week from Saturday.
That's right, November 30th.
They battle for the Land of Lincoln Trophy, so I want to know what I can expect.
You can expect an Illini win.
I was
saying. We're going to take, I think, Iowa this weekend and then Northwestern.
You know,
we're on a quest.
The Cats have won the last four and six of the last seven.
It doesn't
know.
Matter. We've demonstrated that your record doesn't mean anything to us. Because
this year that's
we'll win a game in the last, give us 1 second, or give us 5 seconds. That's enough time to win.
Yeah,
right?
That's very true.
And I think the magic
be up by 25. It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter.
We don't care.
The magic phrase in the locker room now is 31, because that was the point spread that they thought Wisconsin was going to beat Illinois by. And I believe Robin's husband, he was the one who said, hey, you have to play the game.
That's right.
Before
that's why
you
we show
time.
Up.
That's why
that's
we show up
show
to play.
And that's why the stadium needs to be full when Northwestern comes to town.
That's right.
Absolutely.
We'll be there, Dave.
It's great to meet you guys. Thank you. You're always welcome here.
We give this to you? This is for Abigail. It's Illinois,
fantastic.
Our team. And because Isaac is so young, we got him some soft blocks.
Oh, that's great. He can throw those at his grandfather's head.
Yeah. Future students.
There you go.
Yeah. Future Illini.
Right. Is early admission at 4 months, is that too early?
Not at all. Not at all.
Fine work. And thank you for the work you continue to do. And I know how tough it must have been to leave home up in Minneapolis to come here. So you must have made a decision you felt good about.
Yes, it's just hard to say no to Illinois. Let me just put it that way.
There you go. All right. Nice to see you. Andrea.
Take care,
anytime.
Steve. Nice to see you guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
We just got a couple minutes to say hi, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more. But first, let's talk about the important things. Old friends here, Jim Rolfe. And before we talk about the cause, don't you have a birthday in your life today?
I do. Thanks, Steve. It's my son Jacob's 13th birthday. And
tell people why he didn't come in with you.
He said it was more important to go to science class. And his middle name is Michael, in honor of my dad, who passed away from pancreatic cancer. And I know that my dad would be so proud of him today.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And you got to meet the chancellor?
I got to meet the chancellor and got to hear Carlton on the right before him.
Right. Did you have an opportunity to work the chancellor like Mary Vandeville to try to get her transcript adjusted all these years later?
I just said, hey. Yeah, it looks like we're going to a bowl game.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. We have to talk about these purple, if you're watching on CLTV, which I think we have today. I'm not positive, but if we are up, everybody, we got the purple bracelets on. And what do these say?
These say Catalyst for a Cure. It's for the Rolfe Pancreatic Cancer Foundation. We are a foundation that was started about 20 years ago in honor of my dad, who passed away 2 weeks after being diagnosed with pancreatic cancer at the age of 61.
That's the great brutality of pancreatic cancer. The cancer is hard to diagnose. You got to be lucky enough to catch it early. And when it is diagnosed, it can be a very quick ending. How far have we gotten since your dad passed as far as research and development goes?
So the last time I was here, I couldn't tell you that we had never seen stage four surgeries being done. And since that time, we have seen a couple. And we have people who were originally not candidates for surgery, have surgery, and are surviving. And that's just great news.
Well, this has become your life work for obvious reasons. Give me a win. Give me a good story you like to tell people.
Well, we're so proud to be part of the World Pancreatic Cancer Coalition, and today is the World Pancreatic Cancer Day, which is it's a global day. It consists of 80 organizations from over 30 countries and 6 continents, and really it's about raising awareness, attention, and better outcomes for this deadly disease.
We want to tell people how they can get the resources they need if they love somebody who has been diagnosed, or if they're concerned about their own health, but also how you can donate. So we'll do that when we come back. The texter writes, I lost a 31-year-old daughter-in-law with a 10-week-old baby to pancreatic cancer just 4 weeks after diagnosis. My 50-year-old, 8-year-old father-in-law also died from the same. So as we rejoin Jim here on Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Day, yes?
Yes.
What is it about this disease, and I don't know that there's a layman's answer to this, which makes it impossible for early detection?
Well, the problem is where the pancreas is located. It's located, you know, behind the stomach in front of the spine, and that's a really hard location to see it. So you don't have all the normal symptoms. So when they find it, they find it because it's metastasized, and that's become stage four.
And the stage four surgeries that are being done, that's, you know, a door that's opening to new frontiers of hope.
That's right. That's right. When they can use the chemotherapy treatment to shrink the tumors to a manageable level where it makes it safe to go in and do surgery, then they can remove it. Because that's how you beat cancer, is by removing it.
I have a hereditary genetic blood clotting condition. It's called an antithrombin 3 syndrome deficiency, actually. But when they were trying to figure out what it was, one of their concerns was pancreatic cancer, because they didn't understand why the blood clotting was going on. When you go backwards like that, architecturally, I suppose, can they reverse engineer those type of things to do more research?
Well, I think let's go back to the basics. The first step is knowing your risk, right?
And genetics are a big deal?
Genetics are a big deal. I mean, cancer at the end of the day is a mutation, right? And, you know, I think as we approach the holidays, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you're going to be with your family.
Right.
That's the time to have those conversations about, you know, what did mom, dad, grandma, grandpa die from? And then you start to get a pattern and you start building a database. And that's when you start to know your risks. So,
Jay, jump in.
Well, I'm curious if there's, for example, with Steve, he's adopted. For somebody that maybe doesn't know their background, what would you recommend for them?
Well, you know, obviously you can always go and have genetic testing done.
But how do you feel about genetic testing?
I think it's a very individual choice. My advice
is the science right?
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay.
I think it is. But I would caution you that if you're not prepared to act on the results, don't get the test. Because, you have to be able to act on whatever the results come up to be. And if it means that you have a mutation, that just means you're going to be screened a little bit more often.
Besides genetics, what are some of the other factors? that we could hopefully, you know, make sure that we're not doing so that we don't encourage or this won't be in the
increase our chances.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So there's a couple, you know, heads up warning signs. You know, people who are more predisposed doesn't mean you're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, diabetes, pancreatitis, if you were a smoker, obesity, race, age, and diet certainly increase your risk of pancreatic cancer.
It's just so scary. Just as the text, the texter said,
yeah.
A very close girlfriend of mine, her sister was diagnosed, and then it was so quick. Within 4 months,
yeah.
She was gone, and that's what's so scary about this. That there's no way to
diagnose
it. It's
really cruel. Well, it's like your dad, yeah. A month, right?
2 weeks. Well, I mean, look, no cancer is good. But if you look at, you know, breast, colon, and prostate cancer, and their 5-year survival rates are all in the 95% range. Why? Mammograms, colonoscopies, and PSA tests. We don't have that like test yet. We're getting there, and we will get there within the next 5 years. I am supremely confident of that.
That's great. Aretha Franklin, I believe, had pancreatic cancer. Steve Jobs had pancreatic cancer.
Alex Trebek
as well. And a texter points out there are two types of pancreatic cancer, neuroendocrine and another type. What's the difference, or is that hard to explain?
It's hard. It's probably too technical to explain.
Is one worse than the other?
They're both not good.
They're both bad.
Yeah, but I mean, Bob Gibson just got diagnosed.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, Arnie Sorensen, Marriott's international CEO, president and CEO.
Is there an age range where you're most likely to have the problem?
We are seeing more in their 40s.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's also an opportunity for us because we're seeing it sooner.
Mm. All right. So aside from this being Awareness Day, and the more awareness we have, the more need that's addressed, but also, as you said, your risk factors and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
How do we help? Because, you know, I know there's research dollars that go to pancreatic cancer, but they're not like the research dollars that go to other cancers. That's and right. By the way, this isn't a contest. It's just all of these cancers need as much money as possible with the best brains in the business to figure out what's going on.
Yep.
So how do we help?
So there's two ways to help. One is our website is www.RolfFoundation.org, and you can donate right there. Our efforts tend to be more focused on early detection because we think that's how you get it, nip it in the bud. But certainly today is, you know, World Pancreatic Cancer Day, and you can go to www.WorldPancreaticCancerDay.org. That's another way. You'll see our billboards up on Orleans in Chicago and at Halstead and Division. You'll see Willis Tower and
another tall building?
Yes. Sorry.
That's all right.
John Hancock.
That's the other
John,
tall building.
That's the other tall building in Chicago. They'll be lit up in purple.
Well, you're doing great work.
Thank you.
And your dad would be proud. I know I tell you that whenever I talk to you, but I know it's true. And thank you for coming in to address it.
I really appreciate you having us on. It's always a pleasure to come in and talk to you guys.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
It is 9:53, the Steve Cochran Show. Dane Neal will be on at 10 o'clock, and there's not a lot I can say about Bill and Wendy being released yesterday, but I will say this. I love him. Bill's been a friend for 20-plus years. Wendy's one of the sweetest people you'd ever meet, and the sensitive side to her that you wouldn't necessarily know, which is really fantastic as well. They're fantastically talented. I wish them nothing but the best. This is a tough business, and I've been through it. Doesn't make it any easier for anybody else. I will say two things. One is the Nexstar folks that bought this station can do anything they want with it. It's their right as owners. And one of the things that's going to happen with this show, aside from us going to 5 to 9, is G is going to be doing the new business hour now, just when I thought she was starting to like me. I just want to wish Bill and Wendy nothing but the best. And John Williams will be on from 9 to noon. Starting a week from Monday. We'll be on from 5 to 9. There's nobody that is more WGN than John Williams. And, yeah, it's different than the Bill and Wendy show, but you guys know John if you're fans and you listen. And I just appreciate the passion about this place. But there's been so many texts, you know, just needed to address it to that level, unless you guys want to add something else.
No, I mean, I echo what you say about Bill and Wendy.
Yeah.
Terrific people, and miss them.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, made us laugh the best. Every day. I've only been here since August, but they have been more than welcoming and supportive and wonderful and just a ray of sunshine every time we would do that crosstalk we would do with them at the end of the show. So,
and Bill does owe me money. All right, it is coming up at 9:55. Let's do this last break. We'll come back and throw it to Dane Neal in a few minutes on 720 WGN.
Dave, when are the Blackhawks on tonight? They're on tonight at 7 o'clock for Chris Bowden and the pregame extravaganza, and then John Weideman and Troy Murray, who, by the way, I saw in the parking garage yesterday, lost his parking ticket while I lost my ID card, so the two of us were wandering
around. Like a couple of old guys wandering around?
Yeah, we were wandering around. I couldn't get in the building. He couldn't get his car out of the garage. It all worked out. But yeah, they'll be on at 7:30.
Oh my gosh, I lost my key fob too yesterday.
You know,
this is crazy.
I can't help but notice, but it's all the old people that are talking about stuff they lost.
What'd you lose, Steve?
Mostly my dignity. Yeah, that's pretty much it. A couple minutes before 10, as I said, Dane's coming up, and thanks for all the passion, as I mentioned before, about this place. We're going to come back tomorrow and do a big Friday show, and if you're getting ready for Thanksgiving, we've got some special Thanksgiving stuff we're going to start doing as soon as tomorrow. I don't know, what's everybody's plans? What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
What am I doing? Well, I'll be home. I'm going down to Fort Myers, Florida with Northwestern basketball.
Okay.
We got a tournament down there, but I'll fly back on Thanksgiving Day. So I'll get home, and my wife will have the family all ready.
I've never asked you this. All the years we've been friends, are you a cook?
I'm a carver, Steve.
Yeah,
I prefer to think of myself as a carver.
Yeah, me too.
I smoked a turkey breast last couple of years.
Was it hard to hold up?
Yes, it was.
Was it vaping? Did you vape it?
It's dangerous, Steve, to vape turkey. I think you know that. We've seen the studies.
That was coming.
I'm surprised you didn't ask him if he made a delicious kale salad.
No, of course
my wife makes that.
So, and what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I am going to be in North Carolina with my mother.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And is there a chance I'm still going to meet her? You're going to bring her back?
Absolutely. I'm bringing her back.
Excellent. And we have...
How about you, Steve?
Well, not a lot of time. But we have all of my family coming out. And the good news is I won't be cooking. Maureen's a fabulous cook. She could do the cooking. But we may actually be bringing in a turkey from a ringer. So, Mary, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Mary Vandeville.
Going to Wisconsin. My mother-in-law still cooks at the age of 84.
God bless her.
I know. She's wonderful.
In Wisconsin, all turkeys have to be stuffed with cheese. Is that accurate?
Yeah, we have the wild turkeys, too. They're everywhere.
Oh, so you kill them in the morning, pick the feathers out, and then cook them.
Got it. I'm Laura Ingalls.
All right, we got to go. We're back here tomorrow, and we'll do it again. It's the Steve Cochran Show. Thank you for listening to it on 720 WGN.